in an acoustic setting, God moves. He moves in spite of us, not because of us, you know. All right, so, you know, the Bible says that a great crowd of witnesses surround us. And you're witnessing my first time. Pastor asked me a couple of weeks ago, and of course, you know, how pastor does things. He does it in front of my wife, and he does it in front of Tiffany. Like you have a choice, you know. For those of you that don't know me, we've been here now about a year. My name is Danny Pagan, sometimes known as Mr. Debbie, or Amy's dad. All right. Either one is fine. All right. To give you a little background about me, I'm originally from the Bronx. Okay. All right. When it came to the Lord, I've always been a musician. Let me state that. I've been a musician as far back as I can remember. When I got saved, I thought it was time for me to put the instrument down and, you know, be holy and be a monk and lock myself away somewhere. That's not what God said later on. As I continued to do this, God showed me some things about what to do when I'm playing, because let's face it, the drums, when you hear that much about in church at that time, I'm going back to the dinosaur ages, you know, when there was no drums in church. And he showed me that, yeah, I still want the drums, because who created rhythm? Right? He created everything in music, as even so much to create someone who was music. Let's face it, Lucifer had the gig that all us musicians want, to be on a throne room and to worship God. Right? So we get to do it here on earth. That's a privilege that we get to do. All right? So, before we got here, my brother prophesied to me about something. I had been worship director at the children's church at the church we came from before for about 5 years, and I knew it was time, but I wasn't obedient. God warned me in January of 2017, your time is up, okay? But God, you know, hey, who's gonna take care of the kids, the worship team, who's gonna do that, God? Some of the worship team is right here. Yeah, thank you for coming out. And that was my concern, because I was using my own logic. God, who's gonna take over? Who's gonna care for them? Who's gonna be there when they say, oh, I'm going through something, you know, it's tough and this and that, and who's gonna be there? I got no answer. Well, it must be me then, Lord. I'm the one that's got to do it. So I'm going to stay put until he tells me it's time to move. Then something starts happening. You get this certain restlessness that comes inside of you. Now, we can take it as restless in a negative way, but I didn't realize that there's a positive way to take to get that restlessness. It's God stirring me up to say, okay, it's time to move. Okay, but I don't see anybody taking my place, Lord. You know, I'll step out if you step out. Through the prophecy my brother gave me, he said, you're way past your timeline. And you have to be at a certain station, and that bus is going to pick you up. If you're not at that station, that bus may not come back for you. Needless to say, that got my attention quickly. So I acted the very next day. I gave my notice. Now, 15 minutes from my house is a church, right? And everybody's been telling me, oh, got great worship. I'm like, oh, great. I can go there and just play. Give me once a month, you know, I get to play in there. I don't have to teach anything or do anything like that. We go to visit. Sarah was preaching. We came here to visit. Once I walk through the door, who do I get greeted by? Brother Bill, right? Now, Bill's kind of a, you know, imposing person when you walk through the door. So I walk through the door, and he says, hey, I'm looking like, hey, brother. He just looks down at me like, welcome. You can go sit anywhere you want. All right. Hey, where do you want me to sit? You know, in the parking lot? I'm cool. Right. Now, everybody knows Brother Bill's heart. He's like a big bear. I love you, brother. I love you. So I come in here, and there's that stirring again. I'm like, Lord, 15 minutes away, you know what I'm saying? And 26 miles and 29 lights here. But who's keeping track, right? And when I walked here, my wife was already telling me, you know, Dan, I think this is the place. I'm like, hey, but 15 minutes. 15 minutes, come on. Uh-uh. All right? So we come sit over here. I was going to figure, let me sit in the back. All right? Tiffany comes up to me and goes, you want to get in trouble? Move up here. Whoa, what's up with this, man? What's up with this? So when we come in here, we sit down, and this is now my second time coming in. There's Maureen. So, what are you going to do? I'm sorry, who are you? I don't know. This is God telling me, I'm welcoming you here. 50 some odd minutes away. But I knew once I came in here, as much as I was afraid to walk through that door the third time, that God said, this is your home. Okay, good. I'll sit right here. If, you know, God wants to use my gift, he will. What a dumb thought, right? What a dumb thought. He gives you a gift to use it, obviously, right? We're not to sit here on our blessed assurances and, you know, not do anything about it, so we have to do something with it. And as we're doing this, God's telling me, you know, I need you up here. I'm not ready to step up here. I don't know this worship team. I don't know what I'm going to do in here. How do I fit in here? Maybe I don't look the part. I don't know. But I just sat there, and Pastor Mike is looking at me, go, gives you that look like, yeah, I know you play drums. Good. You play drums. But, you know, I know about Amy. I know Amy sings here. Now, I want you to put together a team. On October 21st, you're going to be here. And I'm like, whoa. What do you mean by that? Put together a team. You have a team. What am I going to do here? You see. So now I have to put together a team. From where? I don't know anybody. Sarah was already gone to California. Amy and I look at each other like, what are we going to do? Thank God for them. They came by, you know, and put a team together, and God moved. That was the most important thing. It's not who I got here, it's who God sent here. That's more important than anything else. Yeah, and as a musician's mind, would you like to have the best? Yeah, I want to have Toto playing up here because they can play anything, right? But that's not what God said. The same way he worked here is what he did with the children's ministry. I didn't recruit anybody, nobody. Why? Because I was also the director in the adult band for a number of years. Then when God told me to go to the children's ministry, some people thought, oh, you got a demotion. God promoted me to instill into the kids. Because let's face it, where's the legacy? Kids. And if we don't instill on them, who will? We're held responsible. If I leave this earth today and I'm not accountable to what God said, told you to teach the kids, I don't want to deal with that consequence. So God set that up, and I came over here, and our pastor was said, I want to talk to you. He said, why don't we go out for dinner? I knew what was happening. That's the setup, you know what I mean? So I went there with Brother Jim, who I've known for quite a while, and he gave me that. So I said, okay, you know, I give up. Good. I'm going to announce Sunday that you're going to be the worship pastor. I'm like, I'm really not into the titles. I'm really not, you know. Where you need me to help, want me to clean the toilets, I'll do the toilets. Not a problem, okay? So we came here, and I'm looking at the team, and they're looking at me like, you know, what you going to do? Again, I didn't want to say, well, you know, playing my 30-some-odd years professionally. I didn't want to give that stuff out. I just wanted to, okay, use me as you need, Lord. So you work with a team that you don't know. Not an easy thing to do, because you have to know their personality, all right? Now, what I was lacking in is what my message is gonna be about. It's about confidence. I was lacking that confidence because I wasn't fully aware when I moved to a new situation where God wanted me. Again, it wasn't the scenario that I thought up in my head. You're gonna know everybody, or they're gonna accept you, and that didn't happen. I mean, they accepted me, but you know what I mean? It wasn't the situation that I put in my mind. You know, Hebrews 10 says, do not throw away your confidence, for it has great recompense of reward. That recompense means that you're gonna be compensated for your reward. That's your reward. You're going to be compensated by how? By using your gift the way God told you to use it. So this is what happens. And now this team is amazing. You know why? Because they have something that's so important, and that's passion. You know that? I mean, their passion is what got them on the children's worship team, and I mean powerful, powerful. It wasn't, the Mother Goose rhyme stories, you know what I mean? They were singing the word of God with passion. Now, a while ago, we had this sort of campaign which never really came to pass. And it was about, it was a t-shirt that we're gonna have said, pass it on. Okay, let me backtrack a little bit. What got me to understand what it is to teach the children, I ran into a drumming hero of mine who was with Lionel Richie and Diana Ross. And he came up to me out of the blue. I don't know this man's faith, where he stands or anything. He goes, brother, remember, we have a mandate. We got to pass it on before we pass on. I never realized that. I just thought, just play until we can't play anymore. But there's a reason behind what we do. Now, in that t-shirt we're gonna put together, the word passion isn't pass it on. It's the word passion in it, okay? This is what gets us to do God's will with confidence, is that we have that passion. We never lose that passion. That's incredible that we don't, that's important what I meant to say, that we do not lose that passion. I don't care what age. I don't care. It's just that we do what God told us to do because we love him. Let's face it, he's daddy. You would do anything for your dad. This is what we do. This was nothing near the message that I had here. Okay. All right, now, so how do we get confidence in faith? How much faith do we need to have confidence? A mustard seed. Not much at all. That mustard seed produces a huge tree, right? Which my wife has showed me many times, being a gardener that she is. Right? But there's a lot learning and understanding that gardening, okay? That seed has to die before it produces life, which is what Jesus did for us. He died so that he can give us life. That's the faith that we need to build the confidence. Now, the confidence, building the confidence, that's our decision to do, okay? The faith is already given to us. We've been given a measure of faith when we accepted Jesus, okay? So this is where we have to understand, okay, then God is bigger than anything in my life, so I am gonna trust the bigger one in me, let's face it, all right? In 1 Samuel, okay, you talk about my Bible hero, King David. Now, he's going to battle. Okay, Israel's going to battle here against the Philistines. Who do they bring out? They bring out their prize, Goliath. 10 foot tall, like me, right? 10 foot tall, his armor alone weighed over 125 pounds. All right? He tormented the army of Israel. He tormented for 40 days this went on. Okay, talking about antagonizing. You guys aren't worth it. You guys aren't worth nothing. So by just psyching them out, which he did successfully for 40 days, they back down. Okay, they all back down. So now David tending sheep, talking about a bad dude. This little kid, you know, killed a lion and a bear. All right? Because he knew what God put in him. So what does he tell this Goliath when he comes in here? You uncircumcised Philistine. Who are you to torment the armies of God? A teenager. And you have a whole army hiding from Goliath. And he said, this day, because you've insulted the armies of my father and the armies of the Lord, okay, you will go down today. You're going down today. Now, he couldn't lift the sword. They try to put armor on him, okay, because this is a logical thing. Hey, armor the kid, you know? He's just a kid. Hey, take care of him. It wouldn't fit. He couldn't move anything. I understand by being short what it is to put something on and it don't fit. You know what I mean? So now he goes out there. He says, you know what? I'm getting 5 stones. And I'm going to come back and get this guy. So what does Goliath say? Really? You think that less of me that you're going to take a little kid to try to take me out? Come on. Let's be real. Let's be real. What's this kid going to do? But it was because the passion and the confidence that he had in his God, he's able to take down that giant. With one rock, okay? That's all it took, but he got 5. Why did he get the 5? Because Goliath had brothers. Bible says that, Goliath had brothers. He was going after the brothers too. That's a bad dude. He's going after the brothers too. Puts him down, and not only that, the sword that Goliath had, which he could barely pick up, and he cuts off the Goliath's head. That's confidence. You know, it's hard to think. I mean, the odds were just against him, completely against him. He stepped up and did what he had to do, which is what we have to do. Build the confidence in our calling of what we have to do. When you answer that, God just increases. He increases your anointing on it. Every one of us has a gift, every single one of us. Whether you want to tap into it, that's our decision, okay? I encourage you to tap into it. I didn't think I was going to get this kind of reward from working with this team here, working under Pastor Mike. I didn't think that. But if it wasn't for my brother stepping up and telling me, giving me the prophecy, because he added in that prophecy, if I don't do and I don't meet that bus to pick me up at the station, if I don't do that, it's going to affect my walk and my entire family. Way too much, you know, that's a consequence I don't want to deal with, because I won't be able to sleep at night. What bothers me is that they won't be able to sleep at night. Right? So this is why it's important to step up in that. That's how we get our confidence, through faith. Jeremiah said, I love this in the Amplified, Jeremiah 17, blessed is the man who believes and trusts and relies on the Lord and whose hope and confidence is in the Lord. All right. Now, you know, you talk about the 3 virtues, faith, hope, and love. Okay. Notice it says faith first. You got to have faith in anything you're going to step in. I don't care if it's, you know, even if it's not in the Lord. You need faith in anything. When people tell you, I don't have faith, no, I tell you what, go sit down over there. Go sit down in that chair. They're going to sit down in that chair. They don't have faith in that chair. I mean, they do have, they have faith in that chair because they're going to sit down without even looking at it. So you have faith. Can't tell me you don't. All right? So you have that faith to build that confidence. Your hope is something you don't give up. You never give the devil your confidence, because if you do, you've given up your hope. When he takes your hope away, you have nothing to strive for. When hope, they have a symbol for hope, and it's an anchor. You think about that. When a ship has to stop, they don't examine the anchor. They just let it go. It stops that ship right where it's supposed to be. That's the stability and the hope that we have, and the hope of glory because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, David's faith in God gave him confidence that he could defeat that warrior bigger and stronger than him. Okay, Samuel 17. And because of this faith, he was able to speak to the adversity. It wasn't so much a giant, it was what was behind the giant. All right? When we bind, we don't bind the strong man, we bind his activity against us. Okay? And that's what David did. It was because of what Goliath was doing. He didn't have any personal problem with Goliath. It's just what he was doing he had problem with. And this is what we go after of the things that are formed against us. Like the Bible says, the weapons formed against us. They are formed. We don't stop them from forming. It's just we stop the ability from that being effective to us. That's the power we have. You know, you can have a gun sitting right here, right? So I don't care about the gun. So it goes off, right? So we have faith that that gun is not going to go off. That's the power behind it. It's not the gun. It's what it can do. So this is why it's important to understand we have to bind the adversity against us. And in that, we have the confidence to be able to do that. If we don't have the confidence, you're going to have a hard time binding anything. Well, so Hebrews 4:16. Boldly, he said, we come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy, right? Boldly. Our father, our daddy says we can come to him boldly. Now, you know, my kids would come in my studio at will. Now, I'm a person, when I'm practicing or I'm doing some kind of recording or something, don't stop by. You know, right, Jim? You don't walk in, because we're in the moment. All right? But my kids can come in at any time. All right, I'll do it all over again. It's okay. Okay, so I just got done an hour and a half putting this thing together, and you can walk in and just. Why? Because you're my kids. It got even worse once my granddaughter came along. You know what I mean? It's okay. I don't have to sleep on the bed. I'll go out there, honey. That's okay. It's all right. Right. Now, let's talk about another story of faith. The woman with the issue for 12 years. Now, under Levitical law, she was unclean. She wasn't supposed to be anywhere in public, nowhere. And if she showed up, they could have stoned her. But she had enough faith that not so much that if Jesus would turn around and heal her, but if she could touch the garment. Now, I love this because when he was walking through, crowds pressed him, and then the Bible says they almost crushed him. So that means they were touching him. Now, she made her way. She pushed, knowing that the possibility she could be cast out and stoned and killed just for being unclean among the crowd. She pushed her way through. She said, if I can just do that, that little bit of faith, if I can just touch it, I'll be healed. And she pushed. Nothing was stopping her. And with that, God felt it. Jesus felt the issue, the power leave him. And so what does he say? Who touched me? And I love Peter, you know. What do you mean, man? Everybody's pressed up against you, and who touched you? What, are you kidding me? You know, Peter's from Jersey, you know. So, but God knew that power that left him because of her. And what does he tell her? He tells her, your faith has made you well. He didn't lay a hand on her. He said, your faith has made you well. Healed, completely healed. Completely. Now, that's confidence to act on that faith, because faith is something that we act on what we believe. So it's an action word. We have to act on what we believe. If we don't, we're not going to grow. God doesn't take away the faith, but it's that we don't let it grow. We don't let it grow. How do we let it grow? On your face with the Lord. On your face with the Lord. When you don't know what to read up, you know, and what am I going to read today, Lord? Open the book. Just open the book. Spend time with me and I will show you what you need to do. I'm going to give you a message for the day. I'm going to, because of my kindness, I'm going to show you what you need for today. You know, it's great. In Psalm 136, for 26 verses, every single verse ends with, His loving mercy endures forever. Every single verse. Is he trying to get a point across? Is he trying to get a point across to us? Yeah. Every day I have new mercy for you. Every single day. Because I know you're gonna have a rough day. And I want to prepare you for this rough day. Are we going to go through it? Yeah, we're going to go through it. My daughter just shared a beautiful message with me the other day. That how God moves with us, even in this, in Psalm 23, in the valley of the shadow of death. He moves with us, but in a different way because we're going through the dark. Now, in the dark, he's like this with us. When we've achieved up there, enjoy it. Enjoy it. You've got it. Okay? But now, when we're going through the death, the valley of shadow of death, he's right there with us. He's holding our hand because we can't see in the valley of shadow of death. We cannot. So he's our guide. His loving kindness endures forever. What a good God we have. Really, what a good God. To build your faith, you have to be, again, in his presence. And you will build your hope and your confidence. You know, there was a story that was shared for me. What I love about this church is this is a praying church. I came from a very big church, about 10,000 people, roughly, right? Great church, power of God moved. So now, when I come through the doors here, and I see, right? My mind is thinking like, you know, if this is not a, if all the seats aren't packed here, I don't know about this church. God said, did I send you here or not? Are you going to shut up and walk or what? So now you start thinking, okay, I'm going to get involved here. What are the resources that they have? I don't know. Here they got everything. Everything is wireless. You go around, you do everything you want. You had amazing resources in that place. Here God is saying, says, I'm stripping you down because I need the purity from you to deal with these people. And when I'm saying deal, it's because this is a praying church, man. Okay? You feel it the second you walk in here that the Spirit of God lives in here. And what more do you need than the Spirit of God? All right? Now this, I notice in this area there's a lot of churches. And is God in them? I hope so. They may do something different, do things different than we do. But if the Spirit of God is invited there, he's going to be there too. Okay? It was that story that I'm sure you've heard Pastor Dave say many times. That there was a man sitting on the porch of the church. And, you know, he was sad. He was sad. Because, obviously, he didn't fit in. He didn't look the part or anything. So he goes and sits outside, and Jesus walks by. He said, what's the matter? Why are you crying? As if Jesus doesn't know, right? He said, I don't fit in there. They kicked me out. They won't let me in. Jesus says, don't feel bad. They don't let me in here neither. The power that he has given us, we can reject him also. Why in the world would we want to reject him? This is the beauty of this place. You walk in here, and the power of God, the presence of God is here. Phenomenal. It really is. Now, in Proverbs 10, in the Passion Translation, which is a great translation. I hope they finish it and finish out the Old Testament to a bit. They have the Psalms and New Testament. The one who walks in integrity will experience a fearless confidence in life. Fearless. We all have a little bit of fear in us for something, right? But we still walk in confidence. We still walk. Respect. Walk. A few metalheads on that. So. You know, I had to throw that in. So understand that, please. Understand the confidence that God can build in you if we let him. If we let him. You know, I'm looking right here, okay? The pillars and your grandmother. Pillars of this place. They sit here, but there's a certain presence when they sit here. They're supporting this place in prayer. That's powerful. And they've given that legacy to the younger people. God blesses me. Thank you. Thank you. So again, it's all about confidence, man. And you know what? In your confidence, you do walk with integrity. You kind of have a strut. You know what I mean? So like, yeah. And it's not cocky or anything like that, but it's, you know who you are in Christ. You know who you are in Christ. You know, again, when I look at Brother Bill back there, you know, he stands there with a confidence in him. He stands with a confidence, and I admire that. You know, like I said, when I first walked through those doors, like you know, but then when he opens up his arms to you and he talks to you, like warm soup, you know what I mean? Just, yeah, I like that, right? So in essence, that's my message of understanding the confidence that we have, that we build in the beauty of our Lord Jesus. The patience that he has tremendous patience, something that we all lack, okay? All of us. But if we are patient in the little things, God gives us the big things. Because what's small in us is big in God. It's big. We serve a big God, he gives us big gifts. Of course, there's an exception to my height, okay? He didn't give me the gift of height. But again, that's why David is my hero, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he's cool, David. So with that, that's what I have to tell you, and that's what I hope to encourage you in. In the time that you spend with God, make it powerful. I don't care if it's 2 minutes. If that's all you have is 2 minutes, give him your full heart. Give him your full time at those 2 minutes. Because we have busy lives. But those 2 minutes in God's time, the little stuff, God makes big. Amen? Thank you. Hallelujah. So let's just give that same clap unto the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for being merciful in us, Father God, and in us, Father. Thank you for showing us your goodness. Thank you for showing us how loving Dad is. We thank you and we honor you for that. Thank you for getting me through this, Father. Thank you. And thank you for listening. In Jesus' name. Now, I'm just impressed to do something different. I want to send this invitation. I know most of us have received the Lord, but those who haven't, I don't want to let this time go by without giving the opportunity. If you've never made the Lord the Savior of your life, no better time to do it than now. And if you're in the Lord, and you're having a hard time in your walk, and you want to get back with him, you want to get on your face with him, and say, Lord, you know what? I really messed up, man. Yeah, I've done it too. I've messed up too. I want to allow this time to get back into him. Just say this prayer with me, please. Father God, we thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior, that he took away all of our sins, by dying on the cross. But even better than that, he rose from the dead to conquer sin, death, sickness, all the things of the devil. I invite you into my heart. I accept you as Lord. And I know you will reign in me for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you've done that for the first time, I don't know, is everybody here saved? Okay, good. I just had to, I didn't want to leave no stone unturned, you know? All right, so with that, if you want to break up into your groups, you're free to do so in groups of three. If you choose to do so, again, some people may have to leave. Don't feel any condemnation about having to do that. If you want someone to pray with you, we will pray with you. If not, you're free to do that.